Father, again, we're indeed grateful for the opportunity to be here today and for the blessed privilege we have to meet together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And first and foremost, worship you in spirit and in truth,
yes.
But also the fellowship that we can have one with another and the ability that we each have to be a blessing and an encouragement to each other and build each other up in our faith in Christ. So help us today as we try to accomplish these objectives, that your spirit will guide and direct everything, and that your will be accomplished in each one of our hearts and lives today. We thank you for each one who is able to be here today, and I do pray for those who could not be here today, that you would comfort and strengthen each one and encourage them. Those who are struggling physically, we pray that your hand of blessing would be upon each one. For those who may be traveling, give safety to each as they travel. And for those who can't be here today because of work commitments, we certainly understand that. And we pray your hand of blessing would be upon each of them as well. Give us a good day, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, if you would, please stand with me. Turn to page 68. We're going to praise the Lord this morning. We're going to sing, praise Him, praise Him.
Found my thread, the ways all too
So for our announcements go, Lord willing, this week we'll be having our revival services. Now, I'm kind of looking at these revival services as not so much for those on the outside, but for the church. I've been praying about it and talking to Brother Tim about it, and I believe it's for us. Not that I wouldn't have visitors come in, but I believe God's having this meeting for us to just revive ourselves in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord willing, this Friday at 7 o'clock, Brother Tim Krotz will be with us out of Bear Creek Baptist Church there in Virginia. He'll be with us Friday, Saturday, and all day Sunday. So Friday at 7, and then Saturday will be at 6 o'clock. And then Sunday all day he'll be with us. But after the morning service next Sunday, Lord willing, I'd like to have a little potluck dinner. So next Sunday after the Sunday morning service, for those that would like to stay, I'd like to do a little potluck dinner to have some fellowship with Brother Tim and with one another during these revival services. Lord willing, again, we'll have, I know the time's been changing as far as darkness goes and getting dark earlier, but we're still going to try to, at least I'm going to try. Again, you don't have to come out if you don't want to, but I'll be out there, Lord willing, Thursday from 5:45 to 6:45. We got some new calendars made for the year 2022, along with these little small calendars. Some are up here and some back there, free to take, so please feel free to take one of those. And also, I had to change the date for the final brief class. That'll be November 9th. I know I said November 2nd, but I forgot that that's a voting day. So we're going to just move it to November 9th, so that will be our final brief class. And also, I add up a sign-up sheet here. Now, this is not a sign-up sheet to do it, but that you would be willing to do so, and that's a nursery. So if you're interested in being a part of the nursery schedule, Lord willing, once we get the nursery done, please put your name up here on this sheet that you would be interested to be on a schedule to take part in a nursery if we should have visitors come in with young ones. Lord willing, this week I'm going to try to tackle and get the nursery done, painted. The office is almost done, painted. We're going to try to do the same color scheme in the nursery and also in the hallway here. It's already brightened up that room, so I think eventually, slowly but surely, try to do this brown wall right here with the white color that's in there, and I think it'll brighten up inside here in this auditorium. So we're working on that. But if you're interested in the nursery part, the reason I'm saying that as well is we're going to have to do background checks. So if you're interested in nursery, put it there, and we'll work forward from that. I think that's all I got. Amen, brother.
Our last song this morning, I ask you please stand with me, turn to page 100, and sing "Jesus Is All the World to Me."
She thought she was getting away without having to use a mic.
As black as could be.
I love that song and the words to that song. I'm glad Jesus died for my sins. I'm glad that he was buried and he rose again the third day. I'm glad that he's justified me through his blood. Someday I'll be able to go home to heaven and praise him in his presence. Glory to God. Amen. I guess some people aren't excited about Jesus Christ as much as I am this morning. So the rapture is going to be like this, brethren. Brethren, the rapture, when the rapture takes place and that those clouds, I don't know if you believe this or not, but I believe this morning. I believe Jesus is coming back someday, and someday soon, hopefully tonight or today or when we walk out, hopefully right now, the Lord will come back. And when those clouds open up, I guarantee when we're going up to the sky, there's not going to be one quiet mouth. I guarantee it ain't going to be quiet. I guarantee it's not going to be quiet. I guarantee you that. Because when that trump sounds and the voice of the archangel, you know, you're going home to see the king. Brethren, look, if 100,000 people can gather in a football stadium and cheer over somebody carrying a little leather pig into some grass area, and they shout that it's so loud that the decibel's up to 102 or 110, whatever it was, and in a church you hear a song like that, and the church is, God help us. Brethren, this is not a rebuke, but God help us. Brethren, God, you say, preacher, you're a crazy man from the south. Amen, I am. Amen, I am. Amen, I am. Amen, I am. And I wouldn't change it for nothing, because you know what? It's not a northern thing. It's not a southern thing. It's not an eastern thing. It's not a western thing. It's a God thing. It's about Jesus Christ this morning, brethren. And I say this morning, that there's a right way to glorify God, and there's also a wrong way to glorify God. And I'm afraid today that the charismatic movement has stolen some things that the Baptists ought to have. We're afraid today, glorify God. What do you think heaven's going to be like? Amen, Jesus. That's good. That's good, Lord. Brethren, I'm not being funny this morning. I'm being serious. Now, I'm not asking you to get up and run around the pews. I'm not asking that. But I'm asking you, if you hear a song like that and it doesn't stir your heart at all about what Jesus Christ has done for you, then something is wrong on the inside. Yes, sir. Yes. Now, I ain't saying you're not saved. I'm not saying that. But you might let the world creep in more than God creep in, and that's affecting your worship of God. You see, we gather together in church first and foremost to worship and to bring God pleasure. You say, preacher, that's not in the Bible. Have you read about David? Have you read about David? Brethren, we've let something be stolen from us. I talked about this morning about deception and how the enemy creeps in and tries to destroy things. Brethren, listen, when you go to home to heaven, it is going to be exciting. When you can ride a roller coaster at Dorney Park and you get excited and you put your hands up and people are laughing and yelling and having a good old time and the kids are smiling. Listen, heaven is going to be a quadrillion times better than that. Listen, Jesus has done something for me that makes me want to glorify, honor, and praise him. And all I know how to do is sing out to him and lift up my hands to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You say lifting your hands is not in the Bible. Lifting your hands is in the Bible, brethren. Especially for the men. Come on. Brethren, that is Bible doctrine to lift up your hands. But you know what you got to do? You know why most people don't lift their hands up? Because they're too prideful. Because they're afraid of what others might think of them. Well, they're going to think I'm stupid. They're going to think I'm arrogant. They're going to think I'm prideful because I'm lifting my hands up to my Savior. You know why I didn't lift my hands to my Savior for a number of years, and God helped me, forgive me for it? It's because I was afraid what others thought of me. But it's Bible. Paul said, lift up holy hands. But we're afraid to do so. We're afraid to worship God because we're afraid of what we look like. And it's pride, it's selfishness, and it's arrogancy on our part because he deserves it. Jesus deserves worship. Jesus deserves adoration. Jesus Christ deserves all the praise we can muster for his precious name because of what he's done for us. Brethren, look what Jesus has done for you this morning. You wicked, vile sinner, and I put myself in the same group.
We are wicked, we're vile, we're wretched, yet Jesus looked down, God the Father looked down on His creation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We are righteousness and undone, and our righteousness is filthy rags outside of Jesus Christ. And brethren, when you get saved, some of us forget where we came from. I was a wretch. This man was wicked. This man did what he wanted to do. This man spit in God's face, yet God still showed me mercy and saved me. And ought not to praise Him for that. Amen. Brethren, we'll get excited for all other kind of things, but for God. Preach. Brethren, help. God help us. The Lord, help us this morning. God, help us this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this day, dear God, Lord. I thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. God, help us, Lord. God, there's a deadness, Lord. God, I pray You'd help us. Lord, I pray You'd help us to get back to what the Bible says, dear God. Lord, I pray You'd help us, Lord, to abide. Lord, that hymn says, pride I abase. God, help us to glorify You, Lord Jesus. Help us to be about Your business, Lord. Help us to magnify Your name, dear God. And Lord, I pray, God, if there's something in here this morning, Lord, that would quench Your spirit, dear God, I pray You deal with it. Lord, I pray You deal with it. Lord, help us to draw near to You, dear God. Help us to praise Your name, Lord. What all we ought to do, dear God. Dear God, help us. Lord, help us to get back to Your book. God, help us to get back to prayer. Help us to get back to the things that matter, Lord. We don't know how much time we got left, dear God, before You call us home. Lord, help us to be about Your business. Lord, help us to bring You pleasure. As it says in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, we were created, dear God, to bring You pleasure. God, help us to do so this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you take your Bible, look at Romans chapter number 1, verse number 18. Brethren, you know why deception creeps in? Because the church has lost its power. You know what? The church, I said this Wednesday or Thursday night, the church today, most Christians today, and I'm going to say it again, they're more worried about the Antichrist than they are about Jesus Christ. They're more concerned about conspiracy theories, what's going to happen over there in the Middle East, rather than the joy and the peace and the happiness that comes from worshiping and glorifying Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, look at Romans chapter 1. We're going to continue on our study here this morning. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. The Bible says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, and God hath showed it unto them. We talked about that last week, how God has given us a conscience. God has shown His light into every man that is born into this world. Man is without excuse. In verse number 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by those things that are made, what? Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is not an individual someday that's going to be able to stand before God and say, I have an excuse and why I did not come to You and receive this salvation obtained through Your Son, Jesus Christ. No excuse. There is no excuse before God. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were they thankful. Brethren, you ought to be thankful you're in church this morning. Brethren, you ought to be thankful for church this morning. I got some books up here going through the library downstairs. The Triumph of John and Betty Stamm, China. Were killed over there in China. Thankfully, those men over there that killed them let their baby live. Jungle pilot, Nate Saint, I was talking about it. He went down there with Jim Elliott down there in Ecuador, died. But almost the whole tribe of them getting saved because their wives stayed faithful to the cause of Christ. Another one here, Fox's Book of Martyrs. Good books to read. Brethren, we're missing something today. We're missing the power of God today. You know what? The reason I went to the church I went to, one of the reasons that when I walked in there and those people were singing, now understand, I grew up in church, so I've been in some good, I've been in some services where the music has been really good and moved and stirred the emotions when I was part of the charismatic movement. So I have been in church services before, numerous of them, to where the music was played the right way and it brought tears to your eyes and it dealt with your heartstrings a little bit. But when I went in that little tiny church down there in Charleston, South Carolina, when I walked in there, I knew there was was something different about those people and the way they sang. There was just a different spirit about it. They had something. They had something that God did in their life, and God transformed them, and it came out through their singing unto the Savior. Brethren, when I walked in there, I knew these people had something that I did not have. I had dead, cold religion. I had a mere profession of Jesus Christ, but I had no indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Brethren, they're without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Look what it says in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise. We got a lot of professors today. We got a lot of individuals today that hold a PhD, professors. They profess themselves to be wise, and they became fools. And look what they did in verse 23, and changed what? The glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. You see, man glorified, lifted up the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. It says there in verse 25. We worship, we praise, and we glorify things that are not God, yet when we come into the church house, it's dead as a doornail. God help us this morning, brethren. Again, I'm not talking about some craziness. I'm talking about a heart attitude that wants to glorify your God that saved you this morning. You see, in verse number 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, but neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Take your Bible and look at Acts chapter number 17. Acts 17 and verse number 16. Acts 17, 16. Look what the Bible says here. Paul was going out doing street ministry. Acts chapter 17, verse number 16. He did ministry in the church, but he also did ministry on the street. Look what it says. Acts 17, 16. You see, man, when given the opportunity to know the Lord in truth, has rejected Him and turned to his own ways, thoughts, and opinions. Most individuals today do not want to know truth, neither do they want to come to the truth because of what the truth requires. Acts chapter 17, verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. You see, Paul had such a with God that when he stepped out there on the streets there in Athens, his spirit inside of him was stirred because of the idolatry of the people in that area. Does your heart get stirred? Does your heart get stirred by what you see going on out here? Not to make you angry because it's messing your day up, but because they're lost and going to hell. Brethren, we were out here Wednesday night, and I'm going to do it different next year if God allows it, because it just was too grieving. But when you can line up the whole street here in Catasauqua, from I think that's 14th Street down Ray Street down the front all the way over to North Caddy Park, and you can have lines and lines of people shouting and yelling for a piece of candy, and then you come to church, it's quiet. Brethren, I'm not, you say this crazy preacher? Yeah, I'm crazy. I am crazy. I'm crazy about Jesus Christ. Brethren, if this world can go crazy, look, they were yelling across the street. Those of you who were here, testify. They were across the street. All they were concerned about, do you have candy? Throw the candy. Throw the candy. You got candy? That's all they cared about. Yelling on the street like they've never had candy before. Going crazy for, look, this world is so crazy, they'll dress up like a chicken and walk down the street, but a Christian won't open his mouth to glorify God. God, brethren, there is a reckoning. You say, preacher, there's a reckoning day, and I'm trying to help you this morning. If you're saved this morning, you are going to have to meet the King someday. A King. In the book of Esther, you just couldn't just walk into the presence of a king. Esther, his wife, wasn't in the presence of the king for 30 days. And Mordecai, her uncle, said to her, or her nephew, he said to her, he says, you need to go in and make intercession for the people of Israel. And she told him, she's like, I can't go in unless he calls me into his presence. You see, when you go into the presence of a king, it's something that's serious. Brethren, something is missing. Something is missing when you can't glorify God. When you can't praise Him and worship Him from your heart for what He's done for you and forgiving you of your sins. We've lost thankfulness for what God's done for us. Jesus Christ is to be magnified and glorified. And you know what it helps to do when you magnify and you glorify Jesus Christ? It helps you to humble yourself down. This whole city was given to idolatry. They glorified gods that were no gods. And when Paul walked into this city here in Athens, a very, very wicked city, the Bible says his spirit was stirred in him because he saw the city was wholly given to idolatry. Verse number 17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, the religious crowd, and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain of the philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, which the majority today is a lot of independent Baptists, the Epicureans and the Stoics and the philosophers. They know all the deep things about God, but they're dead as a doornail. They said to him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, We may know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to search Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or what's the latest news on the conspiracy theories or to hear some new thing. God help us, brethren. God help us. We're the same as the church there or those individuals there in Athens, Greece, to where they spent nothing new either to tell or hear some new thing. And it's even worse today than it was in Athens because it's right there in the palm of our hand. And how many hours do individuals spend just scrolling through with nothing but nonsense? You say, why does the church has no power? Why aren't sinners getting saved? Why isn't the Holy Spirit moving? Why is there no revival? Because we turned our back on God. We think just because we have the right Bible that we sing some hymns that God will meet with us. That's not so, my brethren. That is not so. Where is the heart this morning? Where is your heart this morning? I don't care where your mind's at. I don't care what you know in your mind. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? What is your heart set on this morning? God looks at the heart. God tries the heart. God knows what our heart is set on this morning, and God desires for us to examine it. Paul went into the crowd there. He went into the synagogue with the Jews and those that were devout persons, and then he went into the marketplace dealing with them as also. He contested with them. He opposed by words or arguments their reasoning against God. Jude, verse number 3 says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Are you today earnestly contending for the faith of Jesus Christ, or are you earnestly contending for the Constitution of the United States? Good. Which one are you contending for? I'm contending this morning for the faith once delivered unto the saints, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is what brings deliverance to sinners. There's nothing that we can legislate in Congress, nothing that our president can do that can deliver individuals from their sin-sick state. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the blood that he shed on that cross. It was that he was buried in that grave and then he rose again the third day and is now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. That brings power. That brings deliverance. That brings a transformation. Brethren, we're too caught up in trying to save the country and not save souls. This country, I'm here to tell you some bad news this morning. This country is not going to get saved. This country's already gone down the toilet. Listen, the bowl's already been flushed. The water's already going down into the hole. We're morally, absolutely morally corrupt in this nation. Republicans and Democrats alike. Just because you're a Republican, there's a lot of Republicans out there that are as immoral can be. But they got conservative views. You wouldn't let them in the church to preach for you. You wouldn't let them in the church to preach for you. So why do you listen to them so much? Why do you let them sway what you think? Individuals you wouldn't even allow into your house with the way they live their lives. Why do you pay so much attention to them and so little to what the Word of God says? Spend too much time watching television, on a computer, watching all kinds of different things, and we neglect the Word of God, and we wonder why there's not transformation and why God doesn't move, but I'm afraid most people today are just content with that. I'm not. I'm not content. I ask God this week to stir my own soul. God, help me with my own things that I battle so that I can glorify and praise Him with all that I have. If you wanted a quiet preacher, you got the wrong one. Jeremiah 9, 1 through 3 says this, Jeremiah, who saw his country go into captivity, he said, "Oh, that my heads were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." When's the last time you cried for lost loved ones? When's the last time you weep because of what Jesus Christ has done for you? See, we're missing tears today in church because our hearts are hard. When's the last time you cried before God? When's the last time you had tears of what Jesus Christ has done for you? You see, brother, we're missing it today. We're missing the power of God. Because we can't weep. Because we're so hardened to the things of this world. Jeremiah said, "Oh, that my tears would come forth night and day for the daughters of my people that are being slain. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they all be adulterous, an assembly of treacherous men, and they bend their tongues like the bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth." Are you valiant for the truth upon the earth? Jeremiah was to the day that he died. Philippians chapter 1 verses 27 through 30 says this, "I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries." Some of you today, you're being driven by fear and you're afraid of what might happen rather than trusting God. Well, what if this happens? And what if this situation happens? And what if this happens? Those are questions from the enemy. Terrified by their adversaries. Do you not think that these individuals in this book were terrified? Yet they went forward in the cause of Jesus Christ, even if it cost them their own lives. These people in this book had something that I'm afraid most Americans today only dream of and think it's a nice little book to read. But brethren, it's coming down our path. I'm here to warn you this morning. It's coming down our path. We're not exempt because we're in the United States of America. There's individuals in China right now that are saved, that are suffering because of their faith in Jesus Christ. There's individuals in other communist countries that love Jesus Christ just like we do, and they feel sorry for us. There was a missionary one time, I don't know if he was in North Korea or where he was at, somehow he got in there and he was talking to Christians, true believers in Jesus Christ, and he said to those individuals in that country, he says, "I feel sorry for you." He says, no, you don't need to feel sorry. We feel sorry for you. He says, "We feel sorry for you in America." God help us this morning, brethren. striving together for the faith of the gospel, to nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you, Paul says to the church at Philippi, he says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, and I'm afraid most Christians stop right there, but Paul goes on to say, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. We think that because we're Christians, nothing bad should happen to us. Nothing should come across our path that might upset the apple cart, when, in contrary, that's total opposite of what the Bible teaches. A Christian ought to expect to be yelled at. A Christian ought to expect to suffer persecution. A Christian ought to expect to go through afflictions. A Christian ought to expect to have trials and tribulations. Jesus told us that these things would be. So don't be surprised when they occur, because the Bible says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There is power in persecution. There is power when God's saints go through things for his glory and his honor, because it's as of a bush that does not get consumed. Contending for the faith of the gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. When you go out there and you proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, be aware and be ready that you will be contended against, because the enemy does not want you putting forth truth. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Take your Bible and look at that. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 10. The Lord talking to the church at Smyrna. Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 10. Revelation 2:10 to the church at Smyrna. Look what the Bible says here. Look what the Lord says to this church. Revelation 2:10. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Jesus told that church there, that real church there in Smyrna, he says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. You see, someday you might have to pay, you might have to lose your life for the cause of Christ. You say, preacher, why are you so adamant? Do I want that day to come? Absolutely not. In my flesh, it scares me. But in my spirit, I know it may be. You say, preacher, why are you talking so vehemently this morning? Because, brethren, if that day comes, I want us to be faithful. You see, if we spend our time in things that don't matter now, if that day should ever come, we're going to be very weak to face that day. And we may be tempted to turn our back and say, well, I'm not really associated with them. No, I'm not as fanatical as that church over there. I'll do whatever the state wants me to do. You know, John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress from a prison cell. You know, it's the second... John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress, has never been out of being published for almost 200 some years now. Every year it's always been published. It's only behind the Bible as far as a published book goes. John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. If you have not read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, I beg you to get a copy of it this week, an old copy of it, and read it all the way through. That man wrote that book from a prison cell because he wouldn't sign the papers the state wanted him to sign in order for him to preach. And how many... Brethren, the things that we suffer and that we go through, and if God forbid anything ever happened to us, but if it's in the glory and the will of God, it will spread like wildfire. Do you see the church took off in truth when the church was persecuted? Because you separated the men from the boys, you separated the black from the white in the sense that there was no more gray area. The church today is a big mush of gray area. You got people saying they know the Lord, they go to church, but they don't know God as much as that door knows God. And it's just this big gray area. But when persecution comes, it separates the real from the fake. Yes. And the real then have power because of what God's doing in their lives through the persecution that they're facing. Read about John and Betty Sam and what God did there in the nation of China during their time. There were revivals in China in the early, late 1800s, early 1900s from missionaries that went there at first and lost their life, and then other Christians came after and it spread like wildfire. One of the reasons I think China is so wicked today is because they rejected the truth of their great-great-great-grandfathers and grandmothers 200 years ago. There was some great missionary work done in that country. There's individuals in China today, though it's a communist nation, there's good Bible-believing Christians in China today because of the missionaries of John and Betty Stamm and Hudson Taylor and others that went there to try to give them a gospel 200 years ago. Individuals that were willing to lose their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you this morning willing to lose your life for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to take up your cross? Or do you want to keep your life? Jesus said, he that denies himself and take up his cross will find life. But he that tries to keep his life and denies the cross will lose it. What do you want this morning, brethren? Why are you in church this morning? Why did you come here this morning? Why do you have a Bible? Why do you profess the name of Jesus Christ? Are we here just so we can record a nice little live stream on YouTube? We just come together this morning to say that we're just having church? Or are we just coming here this morning because it's our duty to do, because it's just the right thing to do, and it's the way we've been trained since we've been a little kid, and I'm just supposed to go to church on Sunday? Why are you here this morning? Do you want truth this morning? Do you desire in sincerity and truth what Jesus Christ would have for you in your life? You say, preacher, I'm going to say this, brethren, I'm going to say this as sure as I'm sitting here. There may be a couple in here tonight or this morning that God may call to the mission field. You say, preacher, I'm 50, I'm 60, I'm 70 years old. God never would do anything like that. You're doubting your God. Who says God can't call somebody in their 70s to go on the mission field in their last remaining days to give the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ to some lost people? Why do we put an age limit on it that if I'm past the age of 50, God can't use me no more? Or God can't send me somewhere? Tell that to Stephen and Laura Holt, who are now in Sierra Leone in their mid-70s trying to bring the gospel to those individuals over in those countries. Do you know there's some countries in Africa right now that want God so much that they're even making laws in their country to glorify God? Uganda is one of them. Uganda is more on the ball with when it comes to the Bible and God than the own United States that we live in today. Read about it. Read about Uganda. Read about the open door in Sierra Leone right now. And how some missionaries have so much work to be done, they don't have enough helpers. You know, most people in America are just cold to the gospel. Yet you have areas in this world right now that are wanting people to come and teach them about Jesus Christ. But we get upset if we got to come to church 3 days a week. God help us, brethren. God help us when you had Haitians, when I was down in the Republic, that would walk 4 or 5 miles just to get to church. To go to church that didn't even have a bathroom. That you had to go in the woods. But they wanted Jesus. They had a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and what was found in the Bible, and they desired for someone to teach it to them. God help us this morning not to be Epicureans and Stoics. An Epicurean is... It was a disciple of Epicurus, the Athenian philosopher, whose garden was the resort of numbers. There he taught the aim of philosophy should be happiness and pleasure, not absolute truth. Is that not the state of the church today? Just give me pleasure and happiness, but don't give me absolute truth. I'd rather have experiences, which is what the Epicureans taught. They taught about experiences, the perceptions and general notions and passions or affections, not reason and a test. Stoics, The Stoics basically believed in a reincarnation. They believed that the souls of men and the deity of gods just go through this process of mush. Basically, when a deity dies or a man dies, their souls go up there in the atmosphere somewhere, and it's a continual purging process. They come back as another man or something, and the deities come down, and it just gets mushed together to hopefully someday it'll be perfection. The Stoics talked about a purgatory. It says this about the Stoics, but many imagined that before they were admitted among the divinities, they must purge away their inherent vices and imperfections by a temporary residence in some aerial region between the earth and the planets. Tell me, that doesn't sound like a religion that's in this area. That talks about purgatory, where you got to purge away your sins. It was taught by the Stoics back there in Paul's day at Athens. That's kind of what they believed. Some of them explain this fate as an eternal chain of cause and effect, while others, more approaching the Christian system, describe it as resulting from the divine decrees, the fiat of an eternal providence. Nothing can purge away your sins this morning but the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary is the only thing that can make you righteous before God this morning. The precious, precious blood of Jesus Christ. If you're still in the book of Revelation, flip over to chapter 1 and look at verse number 5. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, if you're still there. The Bible says here, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto the glory of unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It is by the blood of Jesus Christ. But we will finish the story here in Acts chapter 17. That we find that not only do you have Epicureans and Stoics, you had individuals that were superstitious. They were superstitious. Look what the Bible says in verse 22 in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 verse 22. Look what the Bible says. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. Superstition means this: the doing of things not required by God, or abstaining from things not forbidden, or the belief of what is absurd, or belief without evidence. Superstitions are false religion and false worship. He says, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. You see, the only reason you're alive this morning is because God's allowed you to be alive. The only reason you're here this morning and have any faculties about you is not by your own doings, but by God Almighty. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. You are here this morning. You walked in here this morning. You are thinking and hearing and seeing this morning because God is allowing you to do so. Verse 26. And hath made of one blood. We're all one blood. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what country you're from. I don't care where you dwell on this planet. We're all of one blood. All nations of men for to dwell on all the faces of the earth. And hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. We will never have a colony on Mars. God has determined the bounds of their habitation. There was a study done, when was it, 1980s, there was a study done out there in Arizona. I forget the name, many was telling me about it. But they set up a structure basically to imitate what it would be like, the atmosphere would be like on the moon. And they put individuals in there, and they were supposed to stay in there for a year or something. They were not supposed to come out. Nobody was supposed to give them anything, nor were they to give anything out. It was supposed to be a closed study and scientific study. It was a disaster. Because they can't, man cannot do and replicate what God can do. God set the bounds of their habitation. Look at verse 27. Why did God set the bounds of their habitation? That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. I like verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's devices. Why does man then make God and put him in his front yard? Go walk through Allentown, Bethlehem, and you're going to see some graven images in the yards of some individuals. Yet Romans chapter 1 verse 29 says, you ought not to do so. Verse 30, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at. God says, okay, I understand that man is ignorant to a certain degree. Paul's preaching to these people here at Athens on Mars Hill, and he says, listen, God has put up with you up to this point now that I'm here. Paul is saying to these individuals, listen, now I am here to declare unto you the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, you're going to be without excuse. You see, God winked at your ignorance for the time being, but God now requires of you to repent and make things right with him. Verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead, and that is Jesus Christ. Now you got three groups of people in verses 32 through verse 34. The first group is found in verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. They laughed at him. They said, this is a funny thing that you say a man died on a cross. And not only did you tell us a man died on a cross, you're saying that man was God manifested in the flesh, that God came to this earth in the form of a man, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless, perfect life, and one day, about 3 years into his ministry, God his Father called him to die on that cross and become sin for all of mankind, that he might destroy the power of sin, that we might have eternal life through him. They mocked him at the resurrection of the dead. And others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. So some individuals made fun of him. They mocked him. Others said, that's some pretty good stuff you got there. How about you come back a little later on and we'll talk about this a little more? You stirred my ears a little bit. You tickled my ears a little bit. Teachers having itching ears. You got some interesting things that you're saying. Verse 33. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among which was Dionysius, and don't come up to me and tell me how they're said, because I'm going to forget how to say it, and a woman named Demarius, and others with him. You had some that mocked, you had some others that say, come on, you got some interesting things, we'll hear you again on this matter, and then you had others, after he walked out, claved unto him because they believed. Which group are you in this morning? Are you one that mocks? Are you another that just likes to hear these types of matters? Or are you one that is cleaved unto the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, Romans chapter 1 says that they're without excuse. God has manifested himself to this lost world, and this majority of this lost world has turned its back on Jesus Christ. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Have you ever felt sorrow? Has your heart ever been broken before God? I'm going to close with these two scriptures. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." What do you desire this morning? What do you desire? Do you desire Jesus Christ and the life that he can give you? How he can transform your life and make you a new creature in him? And if you're saved this morning, what do you desire? Do you desire just the status quo? Do you just desire mediocrity? Do you just desire to just walk along till someday you die or Jesus Christ calls us home? Or do you desire to have a heart that's on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ? To be about his business, to contend for the faith and what God may will for your life? Only you can answer that question. My desire this morning is to have all that Jesus Christ desires for me to have so that I can completely and wholly live my life for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I know I got a little stirred up this morning, dear God, but Lord, I believe it was right. God, I pray you'd help us this morning, Lord. I pray you'd help us to reevaluate our Christian walk. God, help us to reevaluate our Christian walk. Lord, that we wouldn't come into the services just to go through the motions of just we're supposed to sing three songs, then somebody's supposed to pray, and then some man's supposed to preach for 25 minutes, and then we're to go home and eat lunch. God, help us to have a different mindset. God, help us to have a different mindset, Lord. Help us to have a mindset that wants to worship you, wants to praise you, wants to glorify you, and wants to draw close to you in these last days that we're living in. Lord, help us to be about your business. Lord, help us just not to read the Bible, but to allow the Bible to read us. And Lord, you receive all the glory and honor and praise this morning now. Lord, I pray you just help us, give us a safe trip back home. And Lord, if it be your will, dear God, you bring us back home, bring us back together this evening, Lord, that we can draw nigh to you. And we just pray these things now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. What you got? Amen. You got a hymn book? Let's close with page 396, if you can stand. Page 396.
word says. Lord, help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving our own selves.
Yes.
God, help us, Lord, to not lose sight of what is important. Lord, help us to set our affection towards things above, where you dwell. Lord, we'll give you glory, we'll give you honor, we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.